AM 930 WEOL. I'm Bruce Van Dyke, along with Craig Adams. It is the WEOL morning show. Craig, I should have brought a sweater. I don't understand. I came out to the lake yesterday, nice calm breeze, like, you know, not a... So there's a little bit more of a choppy lake, which that means there's more of a breeze here.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the shade now. Maybe we should move into a little of the sunlight on here. But that's the thing, when you come to the water, you know, you get a little of the sun somewhere, you get into the shade. People are out here now also exercising, mm-hmm. walking their dogs, enjoying the morning. And we're coming to the end of our day here on the beach. Tomorrow we'll be at the at German's Villa for the international breakfast that will be taking place, because it is International Week here in the city of Lorain. And this portion of our Spotlight on Lorain is brought to you by Lorain Metropolitan Housing Authority, an equal housing opportunity provider. Homer Verdon joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How much time do you ever spend out here coming out to the lake area?
Probably some lunch hours. It's a great place to relax and, you know, just sort of decompress. So I find myself here occasionally.
Yeah, either here or up in the park area there as well, yes. One of the pavilions. Yes. So what brings you here today? What do you like to give us information about?
Well, I want to talk to you about the Housing Authority. We're initially, we've completed a project that we've been working on for about 3 years, which was a prototype unit over in Southside Gardens, which is about 30th and Vine. We're looking at redeveloping that whole development. And so we wanted to have a model building, sort of see what all the challenges were with constructing it, after we get it up, kick the tires, see how the families like it before we progress with other buildings. And so that building is just opening. The families will probably be moving in the next week or so. And then we'll, begin to look at other funding and we'll see what the issues are that we need to move forward.
What's making it different, or what would you anticipate being any kind of issues?
Well, one was universal design, that we were looking at how we could design a building that for folks that had special needs, that are disabled, so that there's a 1-4 plan, accessibility, how they can enter the bathroom, kitchens, and so forth. So all that was incorporated in the design of this new building. So it'll be 4 families that are in need of ADA units, at least 2 of the units. So, and we have families that are ready to go into those units.
So how many units there overall?
Overall, it's a three-unit building. It has a 2-bedroom, a 3- and a 5-bedroom. And it is much like the, if you've been to the Tremont area, the building will look similar to that. With it's a sort of a townhouse, bright colors, nicely landscaped. It's a marked change from the traditional Velveeta cheese boxes, I call them, of public housing.
Right. I mean, I guess that's sort of the thing. If they are kind of have sort of a personality and kind of look in a certain way, maybe they get treated a certain way. They don't just look, like you say, those Velveeta cheese boxes.
Right.
Have that look
that,
to it.
You know, the it's beginning to trying to restore the neighborhood, the grid pattern that was traditionally there in that neighborhood. It was a very vibrant neighborhood that we're trying to bring back.
In terms of long-term planning, when you look at a project like that, you mentioned it was sort of like 3 years in the process. How far out do you have to look like that to get something going?
I would say probably at least 5 years, because of all the different approvals that you have to have from the federal government, the state and the local government, to go through those processes to get the designs done, to get the funding in place. So it's a long-term project to get it up, and you feel very satisfied. It's like crossing the finish line after you complete one of those.
And I imagine, too, you probably spend some of your time keeping tabs on what is going on in Washington when it comes to your line of work.
Yes, and that's, leads me to talk about, that there's about 7.8 million people within 3.3 million households, and the funding that for those households is, of course, subject to being cut. So we're closely monitoring that. Housing authorities nationwide, is that's going to have an impact. There's always a myth of who's living in the units, and you'll find they're working families for the most part. These are folks with income that are receiving assistance. So it's not just folks that are there without income, and a lot of disabled, elderly, and children are folks that are living in these units.
How does one apply to possibly live in one of your units? Okay.
There's a website, wwlmha.org. You would simply go to that website, click on the apply box, and fill out the initial application. Those folks, after we receive the application, are brought in for an interview to verify their income, determine their bedroom size, and then after those verifications are received, they're placed on the waiting list. The waiting list, approximately, depending on where you fall, it could be 6 months to a year before you're served on the public housing waiting list. The housing choice voucher waiting list is closed. We have approximately 2 years of applications. When we close the waiting list, it'll take us before we open it again.
So it sounds like supply is less than demand.
Yes, yes.
And it seems like it's backed up a bit. Is there a reason for that?
Just I think it's a reflection on the economics in our community, that there's a great need for housing assistance and quality, affordable housing.
You mentioned, too, that many of these families are working. They have, yes. They're employed. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Are there income guidelines, though?
Yes, there are income guidelines for that. I didn't bring those with me today, but if you go onto our website, you should be able to find that.
Aside from those sort of specific facilities, buildings you have, I guess landlords are the other component to that as well.
Yes. Right? We're going to, in 2018, we're going to do some lunch and learns for landlords and for participants. Subjects that people are interested in, if they would, contact us so that we can prepare materials to address their interest in these lunch and learns, particularly for landlords that want to know about the program. They can also go onto the website, and there is a landlord certification that will take them through what are the landlord obligations to participate in the program.
What about for residents who have issues with things that are happening within their housing? How do they get those addressed?
We have a work order number, so that if someone has an issue with needing a repair, they simply pick up the phone, call it in, and someone's dispatched out to their home to make the repair. If there are social issues or concerns, we have hotspot cards where those are sent to us, and then we have an investigator that would go out and address those, or we would push them on to law enforcement if it's that serious that they need to investigate.
Well, Homer, we thank you for coming in today.
Okay, thank you.
Good to see you again, as always.
Thank you.
It's kind of an impressive binder in front of him. There's a lot of things going on with that book there as well.
So. Don't lose that. Don't misplace that.
Just some talking points. If we had more time, I'd give you all the fun things that are going on.
Well, listen, you got to do that. Say fun things, you got to tell us what they are.
Sure. Well, the as I said, the lunch and learns, the landlord briefings, folks who want to report changes to the program, they need to do that within 7 days, and remembering the landlord and family obligations. And then we have a great relationship with the Lake Erie Landlords Association. I just want to give them a plug that for landlords that need assistance and training and so forth, that's a great organization to join. So,
we've talked with the folks from LELA, they're known, as well. Yes. It's important so that you have people who have housing, people who need housing. Hopefully that everybody can get together and they can get the affordable housing that they need.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, as you start talking about the new ones that are sort of adaptable to people with special needs as whatever, that's taking sort of people that may have otherwise been in a situation where they couldn't get around or they have issues.
Right. It's one of the challenges if you have a disability is finding housing that meets the family's needs. So when we were talking about the type of housing that we needed and needed to be designed, that rose to be number one, that folks need housing that's accessible for them.
Sounds great. Well, we appreciate your time this morning. Again, you can go to lmha.org and find out more details of what we're talking about this morning.